Good morning. I have a few announcements before the service today. The first one is we got rained out from the Adopt-a-Highway cleanup last week, so we're going to try again next week, Saturday, at 10 a.m., weather permitting. And Jerry Flakis is a contact person for that, and he says they expect to be finished before noon. Just meet at the front door of the church by 10 a.m. next Saturday. This month, or today, is our monthly food pantry collection that's sponsored by the Social Action Committee. This month's collection is for the Waukesha County Food Pantry. Monetary donations will be collected during the offering. Any loose cash donations that you put into the basket this morning will go to the food pantry. If you want to write a check, make out the check to LCUUC with the amount for the food pantry noted on the memo line or on your check envelope. Today's service is intergenerational. Children will remain in the service instead of going to their RE classes today. The nursery is available for the youngest children if needed, and then there are adults in the Spirit Play classroom, room number 4, who are supervising self-guided work play for children who at any point need to leave the service. You can take your child there, and the youth group is meeting in the high school room right now at this time. So our speaker today is a singer, David H.B. Drake. For over 30 years, he has toured Midwestern schools, parks, and libraries, presenting family events, state history, and reading multimedia programs, and environmental folk music. As you'll see, David performs on guitar, banjo, dulcimer, concertina, and native flute. He's produced 12 CDs of original music and contemporary songwriters, and those will be available after the service in the social hall if you're interested. He's received a WAMI, Folk Artist of the Year, that's Wisconsin Area Music Industry, WAMI, the Folk Alliance Midwest Life Achievement and Parents' Choice Award. David proudly sings with Doug Estee and Julie Thompson in the Milwaukee folk trio Dangerous Folk, and Doug will be helping out with David this morning. So we're very pleased to have him here, and welcome, David. We come from all the places of our separate lives to this hour, from love and grief, hope and worry, solitude and activity, to seek renewal and find celebration. Lifting a cloud of daily concerns, pleasures and pains, we pause to give thanks, to feel wonder, and to experience the privilege of living. We have been apart. Let us come together and symbolize our community by joining our voices in song. Come, let us worship together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning. The light of life shines through the eyes of each and every person. The light of truth shines through each life. May the light of this chalice remind us that our search for truth and light is ongoing and is enhanced and nurtured by every person we meet. May we honor the light in each other. And please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first song, Just My Hands. And you'll find any words that you need to join in on printed in the order of service. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. LCUUC is a diverse religious community supporting one another in our spiritual search for truth, meaning, and compassionate connection, based on the Unitarian Universalist principles and the transforming power of love. We strive for positive change in the world. My name is Christy Ehler, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, wherever you're going, whatever your strengths or gifts, weaknesses or failings, you are welcome here. There is no prerequisite to join in the life of this community. You are welcome as you are. LCUUC is a UUA recognized welcoming congregation, which means we promote and affirm the dignity of all people, regardless of who and how they love. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in the social hall after the service. And if you're visiting today, please stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and everyone is welcome to join in. And please take a moment at this point in the service to mute all your electronic devices, pockets, purses, elsewhere. When you reactivate them again later, you can find out more information at any moment of the day or night about church activities on our website, lcuuc.org, or on Facebook. We're pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us today. So one of the ways we care for our wider community is by contributing to local food pantries. And again, the donations and the offering will go to the Waukesha County Food Pantry today. So we collect financial contributions and non-perishable food items. And if you have any of those to share, you can bring them forward at this point to the basket here, or ask a child to bring them forward, and all children are invited to stay up front for a story with David.
Good morning. It's interesting when people ask me to do a story or to be a storyteller, what I really do is long introductions to songs. And this is going to be no different. I thought the story I'd tell today is called Daddy's Tools. And have you kids ever helped your folks do something? Yeah. One of the, good helper where you get to, lick out the bowl from the cookie dough and that's your contribution to the effort. Yeah. My dad was, an orphan and, an immigrant and had about a fourth grade education, and he spent most of his life being a laborer. So my daddy's tools were his livelihood. That's what earned the money for us to eat. So my dad was really, really, his tools were really important to him. And I used to be his helper. So if my dad was working on the car, or if he was laying a piece of concrete around the house, or I remember even we put a new roof on the house, and I got to go up on the roof, on the ladder, and hand my dad the shingles that he would then nail down. But I was never allowed to touch my daddy's tools, because those were his livelihood. I mean, if I had to do something like nail in something or, turn in a screw or something, I'd have to go to my mom and use my mom's tools. Because my mom had her own little toolbox, because she knew you never touched daddy's tools. And I sort of grew up with this. My brother, to this day, will not touch tools. He always asks me to fix something in his house. This is true. But I was always dad's helper, so I was at least familiar with tools and what they did and how to use them and how to be safe with them. Well, so the years rolled on and I growed up, and it's very folky to say growed. I grew up and I got married and my wife and I bought our first house. And you know how they say in advertising, this house is a handyman's delight? This one was a handyman's disaster. I mean, we bought it in 1981 for $25,000, right? So I wound up, essentially rebuilding the entire house. But the very first Christmas we were there, both my wife's parents and my parents came over for Christmas in our brand new house, in our brand new 1880 house. And my wife's father was a professor at University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And you know what professors give their kids for Christmas? This is the book. It's the Better Homes and Gardens Guide to Home Repairs. And I thought, well, how very appropriate that my university professor father-in-law would give me a book on how to repair houses. And then I opened my dad's present. And my dad looked at the book and looked at the hammer. He said, you're going to use that hammer a whole lot more than you are the book. And he was right. So that actually inspired me to write a song called Daddy's Tools, which I entered in the home show. Used to have a contest for a slogan. And I entered the chorus of the song and actually won some money, which we used as the down payment on the house. So this all gets very bizarre, but this is a song about my daddy's tools. Had to pick when I started. I can hear my daddy laughing at the book I got for Christmas, The Good Housekeeping Guide to Home Repair. He knows the questions that I have aren't written in the pages, and the things I need to know now just aren't there. And the tools my daddy gave me built a home for us to dream in, a sunset we can fly to in the space for growing old. We're safe and warm and living in a place our love can prosper, where my daddy's love still keeps us from the cold. Every time I try to do a job my daddy did before me, the task gets harder still the more I try. Because learning isn't easy when the teacher is experienced, and mistakes will teach me lessons to live by. My daddy gave me built a home for us to dream in, a sunset we can fly to in the space for growing old. We're safe and warm and living in a place our love can prosper, where my daddy's love still keeps us from the cold. My grandpa wired the houses when the power lines first were humming, and my daddy's highways rolled the cars along. My uncles brewed the beer to fill us when the toil was over, and they wonder what I'm doing, singing songs. The tools my daddy gave me built a home for us to dream in, a sunset we can fly to in the space for growing old. We're safe and warm and living in a place our love can prosper, where my daddy's love still keeps us from the cold. Now the tools my daddy gave me are much more than saws and hammers, for the blueprint that he left still has a plan. That a job well done means more than gold when the long day's toil is over, and the task will tell the measure of a man. The tools my daddy gave me built a home for us to dream in, a sunset we can fly to in the space for growing old. We're safe and warm and living in a place our love can prosper, where my daddy's love still keeps us from the cold. We're safe and warm and living in a place our love can prosper, where my daddy's love still keeps us from the cold.
Children can return to their seats because we're staying in the service today. We'll have more songs and probably a few more stories with them, I bet. In our world filled with so much we think we need, let us gratefully remember the abundance we have and celebrate the treasures within each one of us. The morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the work of this community. Now is the time in our service when we share our joys and concerns. We do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and lighting candles. So anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand, state your name when the ushers bring you a microphone, and tell us your joy or concern, and I will light a candle for you.
Hi, I'm Barb. Please light a candle of joy for this wonderful first day of May. And really, I'm anxious for spring and warm weather to come, but in this hot world, we really can rest and enjoy in the coolness we've been experiencing.
Hi, I'm Mary. I have a joy. Yesterday, my family all went down to Illinois Tech to watch Isabel play her last lacrosse game. And by family, I mean 15 of us from age 4 to age 84. And they won, and Isabel scored 2 goals. But watching my whole 15-member family, 3 families and kids and all on the sidelines sitting in the pouring rain, I mean pouring, was just, no one ever said maybe we shouldn't go.
Hello, this is Greg. If you could just light a candle of remembrance on this day of anniversary of my mother-in-law's passing. Just a lot of warm thoughts to all my in-laws and family and extended family today as we remember her and miss her a lot.
This is Beth. A candle of dual joy. We had a couple of stressful weeks, and it has now ended with Maya both turning 18 and, as of yesterday, choosing her college. So the stress has gone away, and the relief is amazing, and the excitement and happiness for her is huge. So double joy.
This is Jerry. Esther and I would like to share a joy for the fantastic pasta party put on last night by Barb Adams and Reverend Amy. We all had a great time here, and what a feast.
And the last candle was lit for the joys and sorrows which we hold deeply, but which have not been named here today. Today's first reading is The Intelligence in All Kinds of Work by Mike Rose. I grew up a witness to the intelligence of the waitress in motion, the reflective welder, the strategy of the guy on the assembly line. This, then, is something I know, the thought it takes to do physical work. Such work put food on our table, gave shape to stories of affliction and ability, and framed how I saw the world. I've been thinking about this business of intelligence for a long time, the way we decide who's smart and who isn't, the way the work someone does feeds into that judgment, and the effect such judgment has on our sense of who we are and what we can do. In this high-tech era, we are so captivated by electronic media, by the continued breakthroughs in technologies of all kind. And absolutely, those are worth celebrating and worth marveling at. But our marvel at these new technologies plays into this unfortunate trend in Western culture of looking down on those who work with their hands, a tendency going all the way back to Plato and Aristotle to consider manual labor of any kind to be of lesser quality, to be soul-shriveling. The Greeks even talked about the person who works with his or her hands being unfit for civic participation. This tendency has been around for a long time, and it's so undemocratic. There are roughly 2 million home health care workers in our country tending to those who are too sick to care for themselves. There are somewhere around 1.5 million plumbers, carpenters, and electricians daily clearing the flow of water, completing a circuit, building and repairing our shelter. The list continues outward and across the country. Ranch hands and farm workers, long-haul truckers and local drivers, firefighters and miners and welders, the untold numbers of people who work in factories, canneries, and meat processing plants. Collectively, these men and women form a massive web of skill that makes our country function, that maintains and comforts and at times rescues us. They are so present, their mental and manual abilities so woven into our daily lives that their skills are taken for granted and at times slip out of sight. Here ends the first reading. Please join me in a few moments of silent thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer. Our centering hymn is Simple Faith. The words to the chorus are printed in the order of service. So please rise in body or spirit and join in singing that.
Ours is a simple faith. Life is a short embrace. Heaven is in this place every day. Hope is the ground we till. Make each day what you will. Judgment Day drawing near, trust that inner voice you hear every day. Life's not a goal or race, it's about love and faith and living a life of grace every day. Ours is a simple faith. Life is a short embrace. Heaven is in this place every day. Hope is the ground we till. Make each day what you will. Thankful for dreams fulfilled every day. Trust is an open hand, living here on this land, taking an honest stand every day. Join in the mystery, seeking the harmony here between you and me every day. Is a simple thing. Life is a short embrace. Heaven is in this place every day. Hope is the ground we till. Make each day what you will. Thankful for dreams fulfilled every day. Is a simple faith. Life is a short embrace. Heaven is in this place every day. Hope is the ground we till. Make each day what you will. Thankful for dreams fulfilled every day.
Sure, well, one more time.
Life is a short embrace. Heaven is in this place every day. Hope is the ground we till. Make each day what you will. Thankful for dreams.
Our second reading is a brief primer on International Workers' Day. So May 1st, also known as International Workers' Day, is a national holiday in more than 80 countries. It's also celebrated unofficially in many others. As most of the world celebrates May Day each year with demonstrations, commemorations, and vacations for the working class, Americans continue toiling away at their jobs. So why hasn't May Day caught on here? In two words, anarchists and communists. The United States' absence from the international festivities is ironic because the day has American origins. On May 1st, 1886, thousands of workers in Chicago, many of them immigrants, walked out of their jobs striking for an eight-hour workday. So in the late 19th century, we might forget that it was common to work 10 to 16-hour days in unsafe conditions. Thousands of men, women, and children died every year in the workplace, and life expectancy was as low as the early 20s in some industries. Beginning in the 1860s, working people agitated for safer conditions and shorter workdays, but it wasn't until the late 1880s that organized labor was able to garner enough strength to back up their demands with large-scale action. A few days after that May 1st walkout, a labor rally was held in Chicago's Haymarket Square, during which a bomb exploded, killing 11 people, including several police officers. Four anarchists were convicted for the violence, some said on flimsy evidence, and sentenced to capital punishment. A few years later in Europe, a newly formed collection of socialist and labor parties called for a demonstration on May 1st to honor what they called the Haymarket Martyrs and sustain the struggle for an eight-hour workday. Over the years, the cause evolved into a broader celebration of labor unions and workers' rights and spread around the world. Governments, not just communist ones, embraced the day as a public holiday. Workers in Kenya, Brazil, India, France, Germany, and elsewhere all have the day off. But in the U.S., things took a different path. Worried about the political threat of anarchists and socialists, President Grover Cleveland latched on to a different day that was celebrated by more moderate trade unionists, not modern, moderate, and proclaimed the first Monday in September as Labor Day in 1894. So although radicals occasionally tried to revive May Day, most U.S. unions did not. Those unions were, for the most part, made up of skilled white men who did not see themselves as part of a broader internationalist movement, whereas the new Communist Party in the U.S. was made up in large part of immigrants and put an emphasis on organizing African Americans and dismantling Jim Crow laws. Over time, public authorities in the U.S. have managed to recast this symbolically charged day into the national struggle against left-wing radicalism and communism. To counteract anxieties over the Russian Revolution in the aftermath of World War I, in 1921, the veterans of foreign wars proclaimed May 1st Americanization Day. At the height of the Cold War, when May Day was a cause for showy military processions in the Soviet Union, Congress called on President Dwight Eisenhower to proclaim May 1st as Loyalty Day, which later became known as Law Day. The significance waned as the Cold War waned, but presidents have continued to issue annual proclamations of Law Day up to the present. Echoes of May Day occasionally resound today. In recent years, May 1st has been intentionally chosen as a day for demonstrations by the Occupy movement, by California dock workers protesting against police brutality, and immigrants protesting for immigration reform. Here ends the second reading.
The interesting local sidebar to the story about the Haymarket Massacre, which was May 4th, 1880, is that we had the same thing happen here in Milwaukee. It's called the Bayview Massacre. And there will be an observation of that today at 3 o'clock this afternoon in Bayview. What happened was on May 1st, at the same time the people were meeting in Chicago, the Polish workers at the Bayview Rolling Mills, which was an iron foundry that they made the steel rails for the railroads. And the workers were working in like 130-degree temperatures, 16-hour days, often 7 days a week. And so the workers' movement for better conditions was a pretty hot topic here in Milwaukee as well. Well, what happened is on May 1st, 1880, the workers organized at what was called Puddler's Hall. And a puddler is when you melt the steel and you pour it into a form to create the rail, it's molten metal. And the guys who control the flow of the molten metal are known as puddlers. So anyhow, they organized a march. Well, the mayor and the governor of the state got wind of this, and they brought out the National Guard. And when the strikers went marching toward the rolling mills from Puddler Hall, they got to the gates of the rolling mills, and the governor ordered the National Guard to shoot to kill. And six workers and one child who was sitting on a porch nearby were killed at that. So right here in the Milwaukee area, we have our own Bayview massacre, and it's overshadowed by the Haymarket massacre in Chicago, mostly because they've got bigger newspapers in Chicago. It's the same thing as the Peshtigo fire being at the same time as the Chicago fire, but there weren't a whole lot of newspapers in Peshtigo, and there are a lot of them in Chicago. So we lost 7 people. The Haymarket lost 11 people, 7 of which were police. So I'll be there singing some of these songs this afternoon, but I didn't want to get too heavily duty on, you know, workers as in steel mill workers. My mother had a prayer, for lack of a better word, but it was a prayer. Whenever my mother started doing something, she always said, "God bless the work of our hands." And that stuck. This is a song by Elmer Beale.
When it seems that everyone is worried for themselves, while buying plans for fallout shelters, stocking up the shelves, living in the fast lane, staying high at night, thinking that by accident we went might blow out all the lights. Look now at the potter whose wheel is spinning round, shaping with her hands the past and future from the ground. Cups that will be filled and drunk so warm in winter time, plates and bowls for dinner served with candlelight and wine. She believes, she believes. By her work it's so easy to see that the future is more than the following day. It is fashioned securely in the clay. Look now at the farmer working in his field, hoping that the sun and rain might guarantee his yield. Like the seed the wind has blown to unfamiliar ground, he waits to see what fate will bring as each year rolls around. He believes, by his work it's so easy to see that the future is more than the following day. It is fashioned securely in the clay. Elsewhere there are lovers in a warm embrace, happy with their plans to carry on the human race. Now the baby cries and wonders if it's all alone. Softly voices reassure there'll always be a home. They believe, by their work it's so easy to see that the future is more than the following day. It is fashioned securely in the clay. So if you have been worried that tomorrow wouldn't come, look to see the ones whose lives are following the sun.
and the hope that springs so clearly from the work they do will spread a little further when it finds its place in you. We believe, we believe, why our work is so easy to see, that the future is more than the following day. It is fashioned securely in the clay. We believe, we believe, why our work is so easy to see, that the future is more than the following day. It is fashioned securely.
Well, one of my biggest influences in the kind of music I do is a fellow by the name of Tom Paxton. And as a matter of fact, just this week, Tom Paxton did his last concert tour. He's about 79 about now. And after 60 years on the road doing folk music, he decided it was, you know, it's time to sit home for a while. So way back in 1961, Tom Paxton released his very first album, and it was an album for workers. It was called I'm the Man Who Built the Bridges.
I laid the tracks for railroads that moved the country's goods. I labored long and hard to make them roll. I built the homes and buildings where we raise our families. Told the bosses and strike breakers where to go. I'm the man that built the bridges. I'm the man that laid the tracks. I'm the man that built this country with my shoulders and my back. I'm the man that built the power dams and oiled all the cars. I laid down the cornerstone for this great land of ours. I'm the one who drove the semi-trucks across this mighty land. Through the ships and loaded cargo in the ports. I taught your children how to read and wired all your lights and fought for workers' rights in all our courts. I'm the man that built the bridges. I'm the man that laid the tracks. I'm the man that built this country with my shoulders and my back. I'm the man that built the power dams and oiled all the cars. I laid down the cornerstone of this great land. Urban skyscrapers from New York to L.A. I made the high-rise one from sea to sea. I worked to cut the meat and grain to feed a growing land. And the mining towns are there because of me. I'm the man that built the bridges. I'm the man that laid the tracks. I'm the man that built this country with my shoulders and my back. I'm the man that built the power dams and oiled all the cars. I laid down the cornerstone of this great land of ours. I stoked the mighty furnaces and rolled the flaming steel. I operated oil rigs and wells. And when the country needed them, I built the planes and tanks to send the tyrants down to fry in hell. I'm the man that built the bridges. I'm the man that laid the tracks. I'm the man that built this country with my shoulders and my back. I'm the man that built the power dams and oiled all the cars. I laid down the cornerstone of this great land of ours. Well, my face may not be pretty and my clothes are not the best. There ain't no big shots in my family tree. But if you're wondering who it was that made this country great, you don't have to look no further, it was me. I'm the man that built the bridges, I'm the man that laid the tracks. I'm the man that built this country with my shoulders and my back. I'm the man that built the power dams and oiled all the cars. I laid down the cornerstone of this great land of ours. I'm the man that took the money and oiled all the cars. I laid down the cornerstone of this great land of ours.
Wee. Oh my goodness. So let me ask a question. How many of you work a 40-hour work week? My point exactly. So if you do work a 40-hour work week, I'm guessing you're working for either the government or, no, I mean really, because a lot of government jobs still are unionized, not teachers, but, but so many of us, one of the things that I always found a little strange, I mean, I'm a folk singer, right? Doug's a computer whiz and a folk singer. There's an interesting combination. But, I've always kind of resisted whatever the newest, electronic computerized thing is. I tell people I use a wood-burning computer. And you know this, I finally actually got a smartphone after all these years. But part of the reason I resisted it, and I mean, I'm self-employed, so I can work when I choose and not. But all of these devices have allowed us to extend the work week into our homes. The light bulb did the same thing. I mean, people used to work, you know, you got up with the sun and you went to bed with the sun, pretty much. And so, you know, in the summertime when you were probably out, you know, working in the fields, you might work a 12 or a 13-hour day and you still got maybe 8 hours sleep out of the deal. But with the invention of the light bulb and the Industrial Revolution, the light bulb allowed us to work longer than the time the sun was up. And part of us can sit there going, well, isn't that a wonderful thing? Because now we have televisions and we have reading lights so we can read a book at night. But we also have computers so that we can bring the office home with us. And now we can have the office in our pocket. And the boss can get a hold of us anytime they want. And you really wonder, whatever happened to that 40-hour work week? And that's what the people were striking for back in 1880, was eight hours of work, 8 hours of home, and 8 hours of sleep, which isn't too much to ask for. Do you know where that comes from, by the way, that concept? It comes from sailors. When you work on a ship, the thing is, a ship, you know, if you're out on the ocean, it's not like you park for the night and everybody goes to bed. And this comes back from the shipping companies, that you would have 3 watches on a ship. First watch could be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., second watch 4 p.m. to midnight, third watch midnight to 8 a.m. And the idea was that you were 8 hours on watch, on deck. You were the ones responsible to make the boat go. 8 hours off watch. Now, a lot of times you were doing repairs on the boat or something, but it did allow you to do something else, and then 8 hours of sleep, unless there was a storm or something where everybody, all hands on deck. But the concept was, if your sailors got too darn burned out, they were no good to you. So this is a song. I actually got this from Alabama, which I'm not a country western person, but I happened to find this song in a book called Rise Up Singing and went, oh, my goodness, there's a country western song that actually makes sense today. It's called 40-Hour Week.
There are people in this country who work hard every day. Not for fame and fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay. Time a few of them were recognized. Hello, Milwaukee factory workers, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Hello, baby steel mill workers, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who swings the hammer, driving home the nails. For the one behind the counter, ringing up the sails. For the one who fights the fires, the one who brings the mail. For everyone who works behind the scenes, you can see them every morning. In the factories and the fields, the city streets and quiet cars. country towns, working together like spokes inside a wheel to keep this country turning around. Hello, Wisconsin dairy farmers, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living just to send it on down the line. Hello, Great Lakes big boat sailors, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who drives the big rigs up and down the road, for the ones out in the warehouse bringing in the load, for the waitress, the mechanic, the policeman on patrol, everyone who works behind the scenes with a spirit you can't replace with no machine. Hello, America, let me thank you for your time.
So like I was talking about, how many of us still work an 8-hour day? I've been pretty conscious of all the things that, I mean, back in the 1960s, and some of us are old enough to remember the 60s, where we worked for civil rights and women's rights, and they still haven't passed a lot of that stuff. But a lot of good things got passed back then. And, we got into about the 70s or so, and after Vietnam was done, things actually seemed to be working at least fairly well. And I think almost on a daily basis, I open up the paper and hit the ceiling about what we had worked for so hard back then that is being taken away. A fellow named Ian Robb wrote a song about that.
Oh, they're taking it away, they're taking it away, they're taking all the good things you can hear the people say, and they'll take it all tomorrow if they don't take it today. From the poor and sick and helpless, they are taking it away. Oh, our government's elected in a democratic way, a whining at the cost of all the things they have to pay, and the bully boys on Wall Street, you can hear the bastards say, to hell with paying taxes, pull the safety net away. If you're down upon your luck and you need to keep the wolf at bay, just expect to make a living wage or help to pay your way. For the rich, they have decided not another cent to pay. You can whistle for your supper, for they've taken it away. They've taken it away. They've taken it away. They've taken all the good things you can hear the people say, and they'll take it all tomorrow if they don't take it today. From the poor and sick and helpless, they are taking it away. If you're native, black, or Asian, if you're feminist or gay, if you're just a little different from most of us today, and you want to make your point or you wanna have your say, you can spit into the wind because they've taken it away. If you're battered by your husband and you need a place to stay, you'd better get down on your knees and quickly learn to pray. For the women's center phone was disconnected yesterday, and there's no one left to talk to, for they've taken it away. They've taken it away. They've taken it away. They've taken all the good things you can hear the people say, and they'll take it all tomorrow if they don't take it today. From the poor and sick and helpless, they are taking it away. If it's ever your misfortune in a hospital to stay, you best not be impatient for a bed in which to lay. For the healthy aren't the taxes that the healthy have to pay, and the beds are too expensive, so they've taken them away. Oh, there are those who have and those who don't, and those who are okay. There's those who understand that fairness is the only way, and there's those who are so comfortable they look the other way, and they vote for all the villains who are taking it away. They're taking it away. They're taking it away. They're taking all the good things you can hear the people say, and they'll take it all tomorrow if they don't take it today. From the poor and
if you've health and wealth and wisdom, stop to spare a thought today. For those who don't and those who can't, there is no other way. Oh, we might as well give up the ghost and leave the USA. For it won't make any difference when they take it all away. They're taking it away. They're taking it away. They're taking all the good things you can hear the people say. And they'll take it all tomorrow if they don't take it today. From the poor and sick and helpless, they are taking it away.
Okay, that's enough negativity. Being the son of a laborer and a nurse, who basically worked themselves pretty much to death to keep us eating, I have a great appreciation for everybody who does work. And we're not just talking about the 40-hour day work. When I asked about how many of you worked a 40-hour day, we got Mother's Day coming up next week. How many moms are there out there? Got a 40-hour work week? No. So there are so many people who put in so much work, which isn't even recognized, including things like being, you know, the leader of a church. So this one is one of my favorite songs by Bill Staines, which was actually the first song I thought of when Doug asked me about doing this thing today.
One day a child was born upon a highway, a tiny helpless thing upon the sand. Smiled a gentle smile, knowing, whispered something soft beneath her tears, perhaps a little prayer to help the growing, perhaps a word of comfort through the years. You can trust the moon to move the mighty ocean. You can trust the sun shine upon the land. Take the little that you know, do the best you can, and see the rest in quiet faith of man. A tractor makes its way along. Trust the sun to shine upon you.
We drink from wells we did not dig. We have been warmed by fires we did not build. We have eaten from orchards we did not plant. As we extinguish our chalice, let us remember with gratitude those who have passed their light on to us. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing one more song, a song which, by the way, was cited during the House Un-American Activities as being a communist song. So... be warned.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for those folk singers. And, you know. That's actually why Doug and I, the group we're in, is called Dangerous Folk. Because these songs were considered dangerous. And I mean, now we're just mostly irritating, but...
If I had a hammer,
may we go forward in purposeful rhythm that we may give voice to the melody of our imaginations, the music of our souls, and all the possibilities of a just world as we might together create it. Go in peace.
Thank you. Thank you.